voice is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
You, Jesus. Father, thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, laid down his life for us so that we could be saved, so that we could sing these songs, so that we could come to this place of worship today and worship you, God. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you died upon that cross for us, shed your blood, your body broken just for us. God, thank you. As we come to this altar, as we come to this time of communion, as we come to this table of remembrance, Father, we do not take this time lightly because salvation is so meaningful to you as it should be to us. You offered up your Son, Father. And God, as we come to this altar and say, God, thank you for salvation. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for justification. Thank you, Lord, that while we were still sinners, you died for us.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, how we love you. How we love you. When we came to that cross and we admitted that we were sinners, Lord God, and you saved us and set us free, what a feeling that was, Lord. And every day we have that freshness, that feeling, Lord, to live for you. So, God, as we come to this altar, as we come to this time of communion, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We treasure these times, Lord God, because it reflects our mind, brings our mind back to that very cross where we came, where we first saw the light.
Amen.
So we thank you, God. We thank you,
Lord,
for this
thank
time of communion. As the emblems are passed, Lord God, just let it be a blessing to each person, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The board members would come at this time. Just hold on to your emblems as they're distributed, and we'll be giving you the notification of when to take the emblems, okay?
What blood can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I love when we come to communion and we sing about the blood, Jesus. You know, that blood is so powerful, so strong, that it reaches deep into every sin of our life and washes every stain away. There's power in the blood, isn't there? And as I was in the prayer room this morning before the service, and I was just sitting there thinking about communion time, and said, Lord, I just want to feel your presence at this communion time. I just want to feel your love. And it's like, you know, when you begin to talk to the Lord, he talks back. And he says things to us. You know, he says, my blood means love. My blood means love. And so I was sitting there, and I was thinking, you know, that Betty and I, we love each other. And unless the rapture happens, we'll pass from this life and nobody will remember us. Many, many years go by, the same with you and all of us. Our love was here in this world for perhaps 50, 60, 70, 100 years, and people experienced our love and enjoyed each other's company in that love. It was a time on this earth that we had that love. But there's a love that is going on and on. His name is Jesus. His love continues through every generation, through every century, through every part of this world, and it will never stop. It never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how powerful his love is. You and I will be forgotten about, but Jesus never. He laid down his life for us, and I was thinking about that love is so powerful. It just goes on and on and on. And here we are 2,000 years later, still celebrating, still talking about, still dwelling on, still preaching on, still living in that wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad today for salvation? That God loved you so very much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him would never perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad today? Praise God. That's why Paul took this very time very seriously. He says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's partake of the cup together. Praise you, Lord. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it still remains. He's the reason. While we're here today, he's the reason for the season. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for every blessing he gives us. And we are so blessed today to have Andrea going to speak to us. Just a minute. I'm going to ask parents how they feel, because it's a month away from you going leaving the nest, okay? And the parents, I'm just going to ask them a just quick question, how they feel about this.
I'm excited for her.
I'm not worried. God has it, so.
Yeah.
I'm Amen.
I'm going to miss her, but I'm excited for her.
Amen. They're excited for you. They're going to miss you, as we all are going to miss you. And, you know, it's not too, when you have many more than one child, you know, the first one that goes away, it's not too bad. But when the last one leaves the house and the empty nest feeling comes in, it's not the greatest. Amen. So, Andrea, at the end of this service, after you speak to us this morning, I would like for us, as our board members, elders of the church, would like to come and lay hands upon you. You know, I like the scriptures because when people were going off into ministry, the elders laid their hands upon them and sent them off with the blessings of God from their very area. And we want to let you know that Cornwall Pentecostal Church is behind you 100%. And so at the end of this service, we're going to pray for you that your studies would be so fantastic. Amen. So go ahead, Andrea. Come and share the word of God with us this morning. Would you welcome this young lady this morning? She comes. Praise God.
Thank you. God is good. And all the time. Super squished now. So before I start, I wanted to thank you all for not just supporting me financially, but supporting me with your prayers and just being so amazing, and I love you guys so much. I was thinking of asking my brother and sister to step forward, but nah, I'm going to have my parents step forward for me, please. They're going to pass out a gift tag. And unfortunately, there's no gift attached to it. I need to pay for college here, okay? But the gift tag, I wanted to represent that you are all, each and every one of you, a gift to me. And that I am so blessed to have you guys in my life. You may pass them out. Passing them out. They don't know that. It's a firehouse thing. So, how you guys doing tonight? Today? Oh, lately I've been stumbling on top of my words. It's absolutely insane. So, Pastor asked me to preach. He gave me a choice of this Sunday or next Sunday, but I'm working next Sunday, unfortunately. So, I said this Sunday. That was 2 weeks ago. And I go, oh boy, I got 2 weeks to come up with something to talk about in front of church. Let me rephrase that. God's got 2 weeks to show me what I should be preaching about this Sunday. And for the past 2 weeks, I've been having Bible verses coming and coming. So today, I'm going to preach about anxiety, stress, and fear. All things that I am completely familiar with. So, in other words, I'm going to speak about what the Bible says about fear, anxiety, and stress. And my own personal life, how I deal with it, and how I've been through with it. So I'm going to start with what I know, what I've been through. Anxiety and stress have been a huge part of my life. One of the perks of being me. Sorry, not perks, really not. But I learned to cope with it. I learned how to deal with it. I sometimes have panic attacks in the middle of the night. As I like to call it, Satan attacks at night. The only way for me to be able to deal with that is if I open my Bible and I pray. Because I cannot deal with it on my own without God. I stress and I have anxiety over the easiest little things. It's very easy for me to stress about something. Looking at my best friend because she absolutely knows this. Some examples of stress and anxiety could be in form of money, form of pleasing people, to be loved and accepted by people, the fear of being alone, the fear of not knowing where God wants you to be, or the simple fear of going against what God has to say. And some people, they worry if it is really what God wants them to do or to be. And the past 2 weeks, I was just scrolling through Facebook on my news feed, and then I seen something that somebody shared off of Instagram. I thought it was very clever and funny, so I'm going to read it to you. So I took this off of Facebook. Somebody wrote, "Today in my church, a pastor said this. If you can trust a puzzle company to make sure that each pieces are in the box to complete the puzzle, then why can't you trust God that every piece of your life is there for a reason?" It's true. Firehouse, I love to say that everything happens for a reason. There is no coincidence in God, and that is 100% true. There was one night a couple of years ago, I had a panic attack. I woke up, had a panic attack. And it was one of those panic attacks. I was reading the Bible, I was praying, but it kept going on for hours. Well, felt like hours anyways. And I didn't know what to do. I kept telling God, "Why are you allowing this to happen? I'm suffering here. Come on, help me out over here." But a couple weeks after that, I realized as to why he allowed this to happen. The panic attack was about one of my deepest, darkest fears. I was absolutely terrified. I was absolutely scared of that coming true. But then I thought to myself, why give it power? Why give my fear or my anxiety or my stress power over my life? Because there's no point. I'm just going to be an unhappy person and be miserable the rest of my life. Or I could give it to the cross and live happy. It won't be easy, but it's the path I want. It's the path I choose for myself, which I hope is the path that you guys all chose or will choose. After the weeks of having that huge panic attack, I realized why. The day before of the night of the panic attack, I was a Sunday school teacher that Sunday. A couple of weeks after that, me and my mom decided to open Firehouse. God allowed that panic attack to happen, so I realized that it's just a small little thing compared to God. And it's funny how Satan goes ahead and he tries, trust me, he tries, to bring you down, to tell you that you cannot do this. Oh, you said that incorrectly. You're just not good enough. Oh, financially, you're doing awful. Why give that power? Why start to believe it? Why just keep grabbing the fear and the stress and all this when you could just give it to the cross? Because he died so that you may be set free. And when my mom and me decided to open back Firehouse, there was this one night, I was doing dishes. There was music on, so in other words, that took me like 3 hours. And I was just dancing, and I was super happy, and I just couldn't stop laughing. And my mom looked at me and just asked me why I was laughing, and I looked at her and I said, remember the panic attack I talked to you about? She goes, yes. I go, Satan tried, but he lost. God allowed it to happen because he knew that I could defeat it. Definitely not on my own, but I was still able to do it with him. Amen. Stress, anxiety, and fear, or struggles, or worries, or whatever word for you today suits your situation. Don't give it power. Don't give it power, just don't. Psalm 94:19, this is a very simple version, says that when my anxiety multiplies, you comfort and calm me down. Can I get an amen? I have a Bible verse every day from my phone. But for some reason, for the longest time, that one kept staying on my feed. Some of them would leave, but that one kept staying and it wouldn't leave. For me, this is a Bible verse for me. I do have anxiety and stress, especially this summer. But I don't let it have power. 2 weeks ago, I went camping with my work. So I work with adults with developmental disabilities. And so we went camping. I gotta find it, give me a sec. And I ended up working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Monday. And then the Thursday, I went camping, and I stayed there for the 2 nights. So in 3 days, I worked 54 hours. I was absolutely exhausted and drained. I cried at a Rogers commercial. Okay, that's how tired I was. I was so done. And that day, on Friday, I decided to write something down because I got frustrated because I was working so much just so I could pay college and all, which is fine. But then I wrote something down that we work hard for money, but sometimes we just don't realize what really money is. This world puts a high value on money, but in reality, it's just a piece of plastic. But we put a value to it. So we work hard for money, right? So that we could live, right? So we sacrifice a lot of things like family time, or sleeping, to be able to have those pieces of plastic to afford whatever we want or whatever we need. And then on the other side of the page, I wrote God. Then I started writing how a lot of people think that we have to earn God. They think that we need to work and be good to outbalance the bad so that they may be able to have God. But that's not how the way it goes. God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross so that we may be set free, so that we don't have to work hard or earn him because we have him. But that just the idea of how just a piece of plastic or video games or phones, Facebook or whatever can quickly take a lot of space in our life. But the only thing that really should matter is God. It's on top of the food chain. No matter what, God should be first. No matter what, whether it's your family, second, God first. In my pyramid, I have God, family, and everything else. But we have to realize that God doesn't want us to have stress and anxiety and worry in our lives. But we're not perfect. We took something that was absolutely perfect and we went and butchered it, which resented to having all these problems in the world. I look at everything and all the world and I just think, how? How can we be that messed up? There are so many things in this world that we take for granted. I finally cleaned my bedroom. And that night, I was sitting in my bedroom and I looked around and I go, man, I am just so blessed to have everything in my bedroom clean now. Work a lot, okay? Give me a break. Still clean, okay? It's been like 2 weeks. It's all good. But then I started thinking how some people aren't as blessed as I am. Not just material-wise, but food and water-wise. Not just how I'm blessed to have an amazing family like I do. Not how people aren't as blessed to have two parents that love each other, that two parents that are still together, and more importantly, that two parents are following Jesus Christ. People aren't as blessed as me. And I find that sad and unfair. But not just the fact that they don't have as much as I have, that they don't have food on their table, that they don't have parents like I do, but the saddest part is they don't have Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about other countries. I'm talking about Cornwall. I'm talking about Canada. When I was at school, we'd stand up for the national anthem. And the sad part is one day I just looked at our Canadian flag and I seen it in flames. And I seen it in flames because I kept thinking, a lot of people are going to be going to hell. And that's a lot of people, and that's just sad. And one of my fears are in this is that on this earth, if I don't do enough for God, if I don't do my job as a Christian to take up my cross and to tell everybody about Him. At Firehouse, I kept telling everybody, like, really, you got to think it's not about you. You gave your life to Christ. That is amazing. Good job. Keep working on it. But you also have another job. Telling other people about Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a pastor, like I've said before. You could just be talking about the Lord to simply anybody. And some people have the fear of upsetting people. Some people have the fear of saying the wrong thing. I'm guilty of that. Totally guilty of that. But the thing is that if you are so afraid to talk to somebody about your faith, you need to work on it. You really do. Because some people believe, that's all good. God will take care of it. God, I don't need to talk to this person. Somebody else would. Somebody else can deal with this. But what if that somebody is you? What if that somebody who should be approaching this person about Jesus Christ is you, but you don't because you are too afraid to lose people. But the thing is, and the reality is, does it matter if you lose people here? Would you rather still be friends with that unsaved person on earth? Or then not be friends here? But then when you die and go to heaven, you see that person. Because what you said planted a seed. Because what you said made a difference. And that's the important thing is, a lot of people are afraid of what people are going to think. But then it comes back to, it doesn't matter what they think. All that matters is what God thinks. So, that being said, Bible verses time. Last time I preached here, I stated Psalm 91. Psalm 91, I find, is very important because the whole entire chapter is about how no matter what happens, God's got you. He will protect you through everything. But there's always a but, okay? Let's be honest. Anything we watch, there's always a but. We cannot go on in our lives. I got Psalm 91. But then go ahead and do something bad because, oh no, God's going to get me out of this. No. What I want you guys to think about Psalm 91 is that whenever you go up to somebody to talk about them, you got Psalm 91 and God behind you. Whenever you have fear, stress, or anxiety, or worries, or struggles, you got that Bible verse. And that's just one of so many that states that God's got you. Some people are like, nobody loves me. God doesn't, couldn't care for me. Listen, all right? See this right here? He sent his one and only son to die on the cross, which is all stated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But then people are like, oh, well, because he died on the cross, now we have a choice of heaven or hell. If we don't follow them, we might have a chance to go to hell, which comes to John 3:17. For God did not send his son unto the world to condemn the world, but the world shall be redeemed through him. People are afraid. People stress. People have anxiety. People worry. I'm guilty of that. I think we all are because we are all not perfect. As much as we want to be, we're not. But we have a cross. We have Jesus. We have God, which allows us to improve, which allows us to no longer be afraid. No longer, of course, there's still worries no matter what. We're humans. But we really have to realize that we have God. We really do. This morning, we were getting things ready. We couldn't find anything. Like anything. Hat, shorts, pens, we couldn't find it. My mom was getting super frustrated. You're not perfect, it's okay. But then she quoted a movie. She started yelling and saying, Satan, get out of here. You do not belong in this house. We did. We found the pen afterwards. We found the shorts and the hats. So, I mean, amen to that. But some people forget. Or they think that they're not good enough. Or they think that they need to redeem themselves to be able to have God's help, and that's not how it works, ladies and gentlemen. So, I'm going to start naming things that people worry or have fear or stress about. So raise your hand if you worry about money. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer and pray for each and every one of these people who just raised their hands. Heavenly Father, I pray that every single person who raised their hand about being afraid for money, that you bring them peace right now, Lord God, and that they realize that you've got this, Lord. They have to give it to you because you sent your one and only son to die on that cross so that we can hand it over to you. And I pray for everybody who did not raise their hand for money, or they were too afraid or too ashamed, that I pray also for them, Lord. Amen. Raise your hand if you're worried about speaking about God and people turning against you. Let's bow our heads in prayer for these people. Lord God, I just pray that you give each and every one of these people who raise their hands, that you not only give them the strength, but the boldness, Lord God, to overcome this worry, to overcome this fear. I pray that after today, Lord God, that they realize that it doesn't matter if they resent you. Yes, it absolutely sucks. Trust me, I know that from personal experience, but there's a bigger picture. So I pray that today, that each and every one of those people that walk out that door, they start talking about their faith. They start talking about the Lord God that we love so much and that he loves us so much, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like for you guys to raise your hand if you are worried, afraid, or stressed about anything. Come on, there's some people that didn't raise their hands. I mean, there must be something you guys are worried about or anything. Man, I wish I could be you guys. But it doesn't work like that. So let's bow our heads for everybody that whether they're stressing or fearing or worrying about something right now or that they will be in the future. Lord God, I just pray that for everybody to realize and to see or to be reminded that Jesus died for them, that they could give all their worries, their stress, their anxiety, or fears, or whatever word that describes their lives right now that are struggling right now. I pray that they give it to you, Lord. I pray that when they walk that door, they realize and they feel so much better, Lord God, that they realize that you are there, that no matter what storm comes, you are there, that we should not be afraid of the storm that is coming, but the storm should be afraid of us because we have God. I just thank you for everybody, Lord God, and I pray that nobody is ashamed of being imperfect because we are not. But we have you, Lord, that we can do better. And I just thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that we're in the praying mood, I know at the end of the service, you guys are going to pray for me for my oncoming studies. But I'm not the only one in this room that is going to college. So I am going to ask every single person who's about to go to college to stand up and come forward, please. And I'm going to ask for the congregation, if you guys want to lay hands upon them and pray with me, as it is important because a lot of people lose their faith whenever they go to college. It is very hard for a Christian to go into a church. Well, I'm going into Bible college, but especially for them, they're not going into a Bible college. And I know at least for one of them, it's a very, well, both, very stressful and fearful of losing their faith. But I just want to pray that God takes that away. So let's come forward and lay upon them.
So happy that you're here.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you that I'm so blessed to have them in my life, Lord God. I pray that as they go for further studies, to do what you want them to do, Lord, I just pray that you make sure that their fire keeps on going. I just pray, Lord God, that they find new Christian friends, Lord, as, I'm sorry guys, you guys are stuck with me the whole entire way. And I just pray that they just stay strong within you, Lord God, and that they aren't fearful or afraid to speak about you, God. As I know that is one of the things that is very fearful right now, Lord God, I just pray that you break those chains, Lord God, that right now they both realize that it doesn't matter what people think, that they have you and you alone, Lord. And I just pray that they, when they go into college, everybody knows that they are Christian. They come in there and they just go, yes, God, I am ready to conquer this college, Lord God. Me and you, Lord. And I just pray that as their studies goes, Lord God, that whenever it gets tough, that they turn to you, Lord God. And I just thank you for all the countless blessings that you are doing in their lives and that you are about to do in their lives, Lord God. And I'm just so very blessed to have them in my life, Lord. Amen. Now, I'm going to ask every person who is going to school in general. Sorry, you guys, not including this one. But anybody who's about to go into high school or any other school, academic school, I would like for you guys to please stand up. And come forward, please. Being a Christian as an adult is hard. Being a Christian as a child or as a teen, I don't know about an adult, but I find it's personally for me a lot harder because of the peer pressure, because of our friends, because, again, fear of not being accepted, fear of being different. So, I would ask again for the rest of the congregation to lay hands upon these people and these children as we pray for their school year to come forward and go well. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we still have young people, Lord God, that follow you, Lord God. And I just pray as they start the school year, Lord, that they stay strong in you, Lord God, that they do not lose their way. I pray that, again, the fear of not being accepted or saying the wrong thing, that goes away, Lord God. I pray that whenever they go into school, again, everybody knows that they are Christian. And that they just be full in you and that they know that whatever's going to happen through the school year and even without the school year, that you've got it, Lord. Then any time they feel like they have a lot on their plate, Lord God. I just pray that they give it to you, Lord, and that they realize that you are there for them. And that just God loves you guys so much that he doesn't want you guys to go away. He wants your fire to burn, especially in schools, Lord. And I just thank you for all the blessings that they have done for you and that they will be doing for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We stress a lot. We worry a lot. We have a lot of fears because we are not perfect, like I said. But you guys also have to realize that not only you are not alone because of God, but you have this whole entire church who is there to help you, who is there to support you. Even if I'm in Peterborough and you need to speak to me, but you don't have my number, Pastor and Betty and my parents and other people around this church have my number. Do not be afraid to grab it and message me or call me at any time. I like to tell my friends that it doesn't matter what time it is. It could be 1 o'clock in the morning. But if they need to speak to me and it is urgent, to text me or call me. And if I miss it, I will make sure to call you guys right away. Because I believe that not only the support of God, but just knowing that people are supporting you around you takes weight off your shoulders. One less thing to worry about. At least if this friend that doesn't believe in Christ, I talked about him and leaves, at least I have the rest of my family over here. Amen? I am grateful for each and every one of you. I am blessed to have each and every one of you. Which is one thing that I'm going to find hard is whenever I go to college, I don't get to see you guys. Well, then again, this summer I have been really busy there. But just seeing you guys makes me absolutely happy, joyful. You guys are so amazing and great and so full in the Lord. I love it. God loves it too. I am so grateful. And I'm not just saying that because you guys are helping me financially, but you guys have no idea. I'm trying not to get emotional here. How much you guys helped me spiritually. My faith and where I am today, I wouldn't be the same person I am today without you guys. That is a fact. And so, because I love you guys so much as a family, and sometimes I don't have the opportunity to speak to all you guys, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. We still have some time before it's 12, but I was hoping that even though we don't have the lunch, we can still have fellowship together, talk to one another, approach other people, the pastor, me, anybody in this church. If you need more prayer for something specific that I have not spoken about today, because I feel that everybody else should know that God is here and that we are all here for each other. Thank you.
Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. Leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but the empty inside, you just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst, well, thirst no more. And all who search, will find what their soul longs for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. All who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind, come to the well. The world will try, never fail, leave it all behind. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see living waters found in me, 'cause you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but you can never fail. Leave it all behind. 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 Leave it all behind.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Come to the well.
You can do that today. You can leave it all behind.
Yes.
All those struggles and all those things that you're embedded in. Wouldn't it be nice to go through those struggles with holding the hand of Jesus? I always hear that, you know, people say, well, when you come to Jesus, everything just kind of goes away. No, it doesn't go away. You still have to pay the mortgage. You still have to pay all the bills. All those things are still there. But it's so nice when you're holding on to his hand. It just seems like, you know, why didn't I do this before? So when you find that that's the need of your life, come to the well. Come to the well. His name is Jesus. Amen. And drink in. Hallelujah. Well, I've enjoyed this so much, Andrea. You know what I like about her is that she is so vibrant, but she bears her heart. She lets us know exactly where she is, how she is, what she's going through. Don't lose that. Okay? They're going to maybe try at Bible college to make you a little more educated, sophisticated in some ways. But keep the genuineness and the sincerity of heart as you go through those studies. Fill your heart, your mind, your strength, everything with those words. Listen to the professors. There's so many learned professors there, and I gleaned so much when I was at Bible college. But you know, when I was at Bible college, can I just share this with her for a moment? And when I was at Bible college, you know, it's nice to be at Bible college because they're all Christians around you. And my mom and dad, I think I've shared this with you before, my mom and dad had plastic fruit on the dining room table. As a child, I used to go over there and look at this fruit, and I even sunk my teeth into a plastic banana one time. It was no fun. It wasn't the real thing. And when I went to Bible college, I felt like, you know, I'm in the midst of all these Christians and all these kids and all that, but I kind of related to plastic fruit. You know, it's kind of like everybody's saved here. Everybody knows Jesus. And I wanted to get back out into the world with the real fruit. I wanted to get back out where you can dig in and get going. And when you go to Bible college, you'll feel like, you know, it's a team of horses holding on to you. But one day you'll graduate and God will just let you go into the places where he'll have you. So I'd like you to come forward, Andrea. It's a joy to be able to see you grow as a young lady in the Lord and to keep that faith and to be strong in Jesus. That's a real blessing for us as a family of God, to see one of our young that come to this place. You know, I've seen some in congregations before go to Bible college, but, you know, there's something different about you. You know, there's something that unique about her that I just really appreciate. And it's kind of like, you know, of all the kids I've seen go to Bible college, you're kind of the best one. Yeah. So we're going to pray today. I'm going to pray for you. And I'd like your family to come up too. And to be around, just your family, come up here and be around her. And you know, she's leaving her family and she's leaving this family, but yet the family's around her and they're going to be strong. Amen. And I want this family to come up around you, the church family, come up around you. Let the board members come in. We'd like to pray over her. You know, it was something as many people, and you read in the book of Acts where they were sent out, and we'll pray today, but we won't stop praying. We'll pray today, and we'll keep believing that God has got some real blessings in store for this young lady. Amen. So would you extend your hands towards this family right now? Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for not only this message today, but the one we heard a few months ago from Andrea. God, we can tell from the genuineness and the heart that she has for you, Lord, that she is so excited about giving her life afresh as she's ending her time at school here in Cornwall, that you've got the next chapter for her life already engaged. She's going to Bible college. She's going to glean from the scriptures. She's going to hear from learned people around her. She's going to hear other kids and the struggles they go through, and she's going to hear of all those things there. But she's going to keep her eyes on you, Jesus. That's the most important thing. As she goes in and gets embedded in all these things, the studies and the ones around her, Lord, let her keep her eyes upon you, Jesus. Let her only see Jesus, the author and the finisher of her faith. I pray in the name of Jesus that as she goes into those studies and she reads the books and she takes the notes and she does the exams and all those things, Lord, let her just develop this nature in her for a deepening of the Holy Spirit in her, that, oh God, that she would be able to stand strong through all the difficulties of a life as a youth pastor or wherever you have her in the future, Lord. I'm praying, oh God, that you would keep your hand upon her, put a hedge of protection around her, Lord God. Fill her with the Holy Spirit afresh every day. Every day that she rises in that Bible college, fill her afresh with the Holy Spirit. Fill her, oh God. And let her hear the cries of her family of God here in Cornwall and her biological family crying out for her in prayer. May we send text messages and emails and encourage her through all those times, Lord God. Father, just keep your hand upon her. We release her into the Bible College. We release her into your will. We release her into your purposes and plans for her life. We release her, Lord God. And we pray, oh God, that you would sustain her, feed her, keep her, and through all their struggles, even that she mentioned this morning, Lord, that you would just keep her growing in Jesus. Keep her growing. Thank you, Lord, for her life and for her family. They will miss her, Lord God. They will miss her, Lord God. And we know that we will all miss her. But God, she will not be out of our prayers. Lord, so keep the families. Keep the strength. Keep the joy. Keep that fellowship that we know in our family strong. We thank you, love, Lord, for all that love that we have in you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, God. As we go from this place today, Lord, just go with us. Keep us strong in the faith. Keep us going for you, Lord, every day of our lives. And we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you.
Jesus Christ, oh come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
I think.